is good to see you on Mother's Day, and it's good to be back with you. We missed you last week away preaching revival, and had a good week of revival, but as always, we miss being away from you. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, the book of John, chapter 19. The book of John, chapter 19, and this morning we're going to read two verses, verse 26 and 27. Here, Christ, at the end of His life, hanging on a cross, about to die. And in these two verses, rather than focusing on His own life and His own death, He takes a moment and He focuses on His mother. And He speaks to His mother, and He provides some provisions for her. And we're going to talk about that. But we're going to look at the way that Christ spoke to His mother, the things that He said to her that was important to her in these last moments of His life. And in the last moments of Jesus' life, there would be but one of His 12 disciples who were faithful enough to be there at His death, and that was John. So John was there, and he was present for the death of his Lord and his Savior. And there also was Mary Magdalene and Mary, Jesus' mother. And she was there unto the very end. If you find your place in the reading of the Word of God, stand with me as we give honor to its reading. John chapter 19, verses 26 and 7. The entitlement of this message is Loving Our Mothers Like Jesus Loved His. John chapter 19, verses 26 and 7. Here's what the Word says. When Jesus saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved standing nearby, He says to His mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then He said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank You for the time that You've given us to come and to be here today as we celebrate this Mother's Day. Lord, we thank You for the gift and the blessings of our mothers, whether they be the mothers who have given birth to us, whether they be the mothers who have raised us. Lord, we thank You for those that You have given us to teach us, to lead us, to guide us, to upbring us, to instruct us in the ways that we should go. Lord, we just thank You for their love and the mercy that they have shown us. Lord, I just pray that we can bless and remember our mothers today. Lord, Father, I pray for those whose mothers have gone on. Lord, I know that today can be a time that is very bittersweet, where we can share in wonderful memories, but we also may be saddened by the loss of our mother. Lord, I'm so thankful today that I am blessed to have my mother here with me. Lord, and I pray that others may be thankful in having their mothers here with them. Lord, I pray that today You teach us through Your Word about how that we should love our mothers. Lord, I pray that You teach us here through Your Word about the love that You had for your mother in the last moments of your life. Lord, Father, I pray that we take an example of Your teaching. So, Lord, it's all this we pray and ask in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Christ always provides us the greatest examples of how that we ought to live our lives, how that we ought to serve Him. And here, Christ in the latter moments of His life even begins to teach us how that we should love our mothers. Here in verse 26, He literally spoke to His mother and He says, "Behold, woman, your son." Now, a lot of times I believe we might become a little bit confused about the tone or the frame of reference in which Christ might be speaking to His mother. But if we look at the Greek translation of the word woman, it is a word to mean high regard. So He wasn't using a tone of voice to be disrespectful. He wasn't using that phrase woman in such a manner as didn't bring her respect, but rather He was using that term woman to mean a woman of high regard. So here in the last moments of the life of Jesus, He's literally speaking to His mother in such a frame of reference as to give her a sign of respect. In the things that we say, we ought to bring our mothers a great respect. Amen? Jesus, at the end of His life, took this opportunity to speak unto His mother. He loved her verbally. You know, as much as we love physically, we ought to be able to love through word as well as in deed. You know, sometimes it just makes us feel good when somebody has something good to say about us. Does it not? We're all humans. I believe when somebody encourages us, when somebody has something nice to say, it makes us feel good. It makes us feel encouraged. And I hope that each and every one of you this Mother's Day will take the opportunity to love your mother verbally. If you're blessed to still have your mother with you, I encourage you to tell her that you love her. Tell her how much that you care for her. Take an opportunity to thank her for the things that she has done for you. Mothers deserve a title of respect. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus gave His mother a title of respect. He said, woman. This to mean woman of the highest regard. Mothers deserve that. For all of the things that they endure. For all of the things that they go through. Through all of the things that they put up with. Raising children isn't easy, is it? Will you ladies say amen?
Amen.
Raising children is hard. I watch my wife do it all the time, so I know. But she's raised good children. And I believe if you love your children and you raise them and teach them as you should, the Bible says that they'll always have a base of teaching that they can return to. You know, you oftentimes don't understand how important the teachings that your parents give you really is until you're an adult, until you're grown, until you're on your own. And then you can begin to understand how important it was as to what your mother and your father really taught you. Because of the hardship that is entitled and interned with being a mother or with a father, they deserve that title of respect. And that's what Jesus did. He says, behold, woman, a woman of the highest esteem in the greatest regard. So Christ loved His mother verbally, but we also see here that He loved her physically. He loved her physically. Sometimes we just need to strive to meet the real needs of what our mothers really are. You know, when we're younger, that real need of a mom might just be reminding her that you love her and how much you appreciate her. It might be as simple as giving a card, providing a flower, or helping to meet the needs that they have in their home and in their lives. But here Jesus really looked to meet the physical needs of His mother in another sense. Jesus was the oldest son. He was the firstborn son of Mary. And as such, in Jewish culture and in Jewish customs, He was required to provide for His mother at the end of the life of His father. Now, we don't know for certain, but most biblical scholars do agree that at this point in time, Joseph is already gone. He's already deceased. He is passed on. Why? Because here we see that Christ is making a plan for His mother at the end of His life. Because Jesus knows that now that my father, Joseph, is gone, it falls to me to provide for the care of my mother. So Christ looking to the responsibility of caring for His mother as was custom and law during that day, Jesus looked to the only disciple who was present there at His death, John, this brother that He loved, and He says, behold your mother. He says, behold your mother. And from that hour forward, it says that John took Mary into his home as his very own mother. The Lord provided for His mother's physical needs. She was not going to be able to provide for herself without a husband. She wasn't going to be able to provide for herself now that her firstborn son is going to be gone. What is she to do? And Christ looked at His mother. He looked at His disciple and He says, this is now your mother. And John caught the message and he cared for Mary, the mother of Jesus, for all of the rest of her life and all the remaining of his life. You know, sometimes in life we need to look to the true needs that our mothers have. And if we're blessed to live a long enough life, we may notice that as our mothers grow in age, that their needs begin to change. It may be that they need more than just words of encouragement and thank yous. They may have true physical needs that need to be met. And as the children, we ought to be willing to step up and help to meet the physical needs and prepare for our mothers. Amen? Just as Jesus prepared for His mother. We also are encouraged by the teachings of Christ that we love our mothers patiently. You know, sometimes, as I mentioned already, being a mother isn't easy. It becomes downright difficult. And there's times in our lives when we feel like that our mothers may overstep, that they go beyond the place that really we feel that they should go. In your dating life, if you can remember growing up, that first boyfriend, that first girlfriend, how many of your mothers really liked that first boyfriend and girlfriend? Probably not too much. I know Diane, Clay, if you're still here, your mother vents sometimes. I'm just going to be honest with you, brother. She vents. But you know what? That's okay, because Clay is her firstborn son, her only son, and she loves him dearly, and she watches out for him. And sometimes we think, my goodness, Mom is really overstepping her bounds. Well, you know what? Mothers have earned the right sometimes to overstep their bounds. And in the life of Jesus, we see this happening at least once. We know in John chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "And Jesus says to her, 'Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not come yet.'" And in this particular example in John 2, if you go back and read the chapter, Christ went with His mother to a wedding. You know, the responsibility of all good boys to go with their mother to a wedding when they're called upon to do so. And while Jesus was there, they ran out of wine. Everybody remembers the story. Surely, to my goodness, come on, people. You remember the story? They ran out of wine. So what did Mary do? "Well, I have a child who can walk on water. So I'll ask him to take this water and turn it into wine." And he says, "Woman, what does this have to do with me?" And yet again, that same word, if you look up the translation to it, to mean a woman of high regard, so he respected his mother still yet, he says, "But mother, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." So Christ, not wanting the whole world yet to know of the abilities that he had, he questioned, you know, is this really my place? But what did he do? He turned the water into wine. Amen? As every good boy does, he follows the instructions of his mother, even if we question whether or not she has overstepped her bounds. Why? Because we respect them. We have to be patient with our mothers. They endure a lot. They go through a lot. They have these worries on their minds. I give Heather a particularly hard time because Hannah leaves for college in a few months. And I tease her unmercifully, you know, about the fact that, you know, when Hannah goes away, she's never going to call you. She'll never call home. She's going to be 3 hours away, and if you want to see her, you're going to have to drive to Columbus, Ohio. She's never going to want to come home. And it really gets to her. It bothers her the worst, and I have fun picking on her sometimes. But mothers go through a lot. They bear a lot on their minds, and we have to love our mothers patiently. Why? Because mothers are human. They're just like all of us. They have emotions, they have fears, and sometimes those fears and those emotions are irrational. Amen? Some of the most irrational people I've ever known tend to be mothers. They worry about things that are just ridiculous, and they fear things that are completely unreasonable. We love them patiently as Christ loved His mother patiently. In the teachings of Jesus, we also see that Christ loved His mother attentively. Not only in the very last moments of the life of Jesus did He have an attentiveness to His mother and her needs, but all through His life, Jesus made time for His mother. Even in teaching, even in preaching, even in all of the great things that He did, through His miracles, through His travels, He still took a moment and a time to love His mother. And throughout the Scripture, we see different examples of when Christ took a time out of His life to spend it with His mother. And we can take an example from that. Because we live in a society and in a culture where we become so busy with life and with jobs, and some of us with our own children and with our own families, that we forget about loving our mothers attentively and just making time for them. Even if you live halfway across the country, that may mean that rather than being able to see them as much as you like, call them. Give them a telephone call. Even if it's as simple as a short conversation, they have earned it. Amen? Even if it means just taking an opportunity to sit with them in the living room for a few minutes. Love our mothers attentively, Jesus says. We can take from His example as He set aside times of ministry to go and to be with His mother. But not only did Jesus love His mother attentively, we also see that Christ had a grateful love for His mother. Christ was appreciative of the things that His mother did for Him. Church, we ought to be grateful for the things that our mothers have done for us. Not only do they give us life, we're here not only because they brought us into this world, but we are here because of the sacrifices that they make, the teaching that they give us, the upbringing that they give us. And a lot of times we don't talk about this in reference to Mary, but I want you to think about the life that she lived. Think about the circumstances in which she came about to be the mother of Jesus, the Immaculate Conception. Her and Joseph were not yet married, but she's pregnant. Think of how society looked at her. They looked at her as basically somebody who was having a child out of wedlock. And you can imagine what the stigma was like 2,000 years ago. It's difficult even in today's world, but you can imagine what it was like then. Mary, through most of her life, was probably talked about behind her back because her firstborn son was born out of wedlock. And she says that the Father is God. You could imagine how difficult it was for her in life. You could imagine all of the drama that she probably faced, not just in her family, but in her community, bringing up her son. But Christ was grateful for His mother and all of the things that she endured. A lot of times, we probably think that being the mother of Jesus was simple or it was easy. In fact, it was not. But Christ was grateful for the sacrifices and the things that Mary did on His behalf. Matthew chapter 12, verses 46, 7, and 8 says it this way. He says, "While He yet talked to the people, behold, His mother and His brethren stood without, desiring to speak with Him. Then one says unto Him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with you. But He has answered and said unto him that told Him, Who is my mother? And who are my brethren?" We love our mothers because they always want the best for us. We love them gratefully because they want nothing but the best. Here in this example, Mary and Jesus' younger siblings come, literally younger siblings. Mary has brought in tow these young children to come and see her firstborn son because she's worried about him. Here, Jesus has been preaching and teaching for days. He hasn't slept, He hasn't ate, and His mother has come basically to tell Him, you need to eat, you need to sleep. And here, Jesus speaks yet about His mother in high regard. And He has further teaching here in this Scripture that we won't get into this morning, but He loved His mother gratefully. Why? Because our mothers always want the best for us. Whether it's in our relationships, whether it's in our education, whether it's in our job, whether it's in our daily lives, our mothers always want the best for us. We should love them gratefully. We should also love our mothers generously. Christ taught us that we should love our mothers with an abounding love. Not just a basic love, not like we would love a friend, not like we would love even a sibling, but we love our mothers generously. Why? Because our mothers love us unto the very end. Our mothers love us unto the very end. Your spouse may not love you unto the very end. That relationship that you're in now as a teenager that you're so into, they're probably not going to love you to the end. Unless that's really the one, they're probably not going to love you to the end. And you wonder why your mom is so skeptical of the relationship. Why? It's because she loves you and she cares for you and she wants the best for you. Billy Graham once said it the best, talking about puppy love. He says the love isn't real to anybody except the puppy, right? So you're so in love at that point in your life, but your mother, she's so concerned about you. Why? Because she wants the best for you. And know this, that even when nobody else will love you, your mother will love you unto the end. You see, to all of the rest of the world, Jesus was a criminal who was dying a criminal's death. He was a man who was being charged for inciting riots amongst the people for claiming to be the Son of God. And because the Romans didn't want to riot amongst the Jews, they fell into a great scheme that would ultimately lead to Christ and His crucifixion. So to everybody else in the world, Christ was a criminal. But Mary loved her son, even though there was the great stigma that he was a criminal condemned unto death. That's not easy on a mother in a society like that. Her son is dying because he proclaims to be the Son of God and the Savior of the world. She loved him to the end. She loved him to the end. You think about criminals in our society today, people who really do commit heinous crimes. You know what? Their mothers still love them because that's their child. That's their son. That's their daughter. Even in the throes of addiction, parents love their children because that's their child. They love them. They brought them into this world. We ought to love our mothers generously because they love us generously. They love us to the end. I think the greatest thing that Jesus teaches us about loving our mothers is this, and we're going to close, is we ought to love our mothers honorably. In everything that we do, we ought to love our mothers honorably. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. He says, honor your mother. He says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your mothers and your fathers. You know what? Over the years, I've had people tell me when I've referenced these verses, they say, how do I honor my mother and father? I don't have a mother. I don't have a father. Or I've never known my mom. I've never known my dad. I get that a lot. And in today's society, we have more young people being raised by grandmother, grandfather, aunts, uncles, great aunts and uncles, great grandparents than we've probably ever had before. But I tell you this, even if you've never known your mother, even if you've never known your father, we're given a command that we love our mothers and our fathers and that we would bring honor unto them. And do you know it's entirely possible that we can still honor our mothers and fathers even if we have never known them? Even if they've never been a part of your life, you can still bring honor unto them in the life that you live, in the choices that you make, in the things that you do in life. If you've never known your mother and your father and you're here today and you've been a success, God has blessed you, you have a wonderful family, you have a great job, then you know what? Through the things that you do, you still bring honor to your mother and to your father, even if you've never known them. Maybe it is the case that your mom or your dad has gone on to be with the Lord and they've been gone for a long time. You can still bring honor to the names of your mother and your father in the life that you live. Amen? We ought to live honorably, not just for mother and for father, but for God. Christ gave an honor to His mother in the way that He spoke for her, in the future that He helped to prepare for her. We should be burdened to honor our mothers. We should be burdened. We should have not just a desire, but we ought to have a conviction in our life to bring honor to the names of our mothers and our fathers for what they've done for us, for the things that they have taught us, for the sacrifices that they've made for us. Burdened and convicted. If you're not bringing honor to the names of your mother, the name of your father, it's not too late. Maybe your relationship with your mother or your father isn't what it should be. You can also change that. I encourage you to love your mothers verbally, physically, patiently, attentively, gratefully, generously, but if nothing else, honor them. Honor them in the things that you do and the life that you live. Maybe you're here today and you're raising children that aren't your own. We see that so much. We've seen it in our family. I see it in lots of different families. But I want you to know this. You don't have to bring a child into the world to be its mother or to be its father. Amen? There's a lot of great people who have stepped up to be mothers and fathers to children that are not their own, to take on a responsibility that is not theirs. Let's bring honor to their names as well for the calling that they have accepted in raising those children to be their own. Take these examples that Christ has taught us and apply them to the relationship with your mother. As our praise team comes and we get ready to close out this service, this is an opportunity for us to move from the preaching to a time of response. If God is working on your heart, maybe you'd like to come and pray about your relationship. Maybe your relationship with your mother and your father isn't what it should be. Maybe it's been splintered for a long time. It's sad when I see people that say, you know, I don't even speak to my parents. We've not spoken for years. I encourage you, if you're in such a situation, you come, pray for a healing restoration in the relationship you have with your mother and with your father. Maybe you're here and God's got other things on your heart. Maybe the Holy Spirit's been working on you for a lot of different reasons. You can come and I'd be happy to pray with you, or you can come and bring somebody to pray with you. However God is working on your heart, you respond. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we close out this service, Lord, I pray that we just be attentive to how you've taught us here today. Lord, I pray that we be attentive to what your word speaks unto us about how that we should love our mothers. Lord, I pray that we take all of these things and we apply them to our heart and our life, that we use them to love our mothers as you teach us. Lord, if nothing else, I pray that you help us to bring honor unto them through the things that we say, through the things that we do, and through the lives that we live. Help us always to improve ourselves, to be more faithful. Lord, Father, we just give it all to you. It's in your holy, precious name we pray. Amen.